everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome. This is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And that's, once again, all covered here today. I'm Nicole Whitney, your host, and still coming back from the illness thingy. Thank you so much for all the wonderful emails and kind sentiments about that. But hey, the show must go on, and it is here. A couple of little housekeeping things off the top before I forget, though. Some of you have been emailing about the half-price spoon-bending kit sale. It's still up because the links were not working on Saturday. So that's going to stay up till Tuesday night. Half-price spoon-bending kit. Learn how to bend metal with your mind for real. Instantly downloadable kit. You would not believe who was on my website today buying a spoon-bending kit. I kid you not. I was checking in on the website this morning. Uri Geller, the famous from the 70s spoonbender, was on the site buying a spoon-bending kit. I'm deeply humbled. I'm sort of like God signing up for Bible class or something. Well, that's not a good metaphor, but you know what I mean. Anyway, so that's my update there. It'll be up till Tuesday night on the site and went newsforthesoul.com. Now, aha, not as an expression, but as my guest today, that's who it is. Aha is here for the hour, and we're going to be talking about satsang, and it's probably, knowing aha, going to develop into an online, on-the-air satsang itself. You can find aha online at ahashouse.com. And for those of you who have been listening for a while on News for the Soul, as you know, he came to us through a wonderful friend and regular on the show, one of my favorite teachers of all time, Satyan Raja, and that was how the connection was made. And it's been an amazing journey ever since. So let's bring him on and start the fun. Hi, Aha.
Right. Deepest greetings.
It's so wonderful. It's such a joy spending some time with you at any time. So I'm really grateful for you being here today. And why don't we start with you know, we sent out a promotion about the show yesterday, I think it was, in my feverish haze here, and we had a lot of emails back going, what's satsang? So a lot of people actually still don't know. So let's talk about that.
Well, my great happiness to meet and to address all you beings, all you stellar, bright beings out there that are animating this Terran theater. And it's our being together, our turning together, that makes this vision or any vision you find yourself in real. And satsang, then, is the art of being together. Sat is the great word for existence, so the heart itself, the condition which we all find ourselves being present to each other. And song is the gathering, the great, wonderful magnetism that dances each of us into our lives and playing the right roles at the right time. And so, essentially, such song is the great context of anyone's unique, special life. In order to realize the significance of any given event shared among beings, it's necessary to examine the diamond dance of conditions positions it. I mean, we're all being together and we say, well, this or that happened, but what's the context of the culture that it happens in, the time and the space in which that event is going on? Well, these diamond dance of conditions that positions it and allowing it to stand out and exist. Well, just so, in order to realize truth, prior to any shape or significance, it's necessary to awaken within the context of resting as who you already are, your already given unfolding. And that is the condition of unqualified relationship. That's love. Just simply that you are here with all of existence. And once again, it is known in these transcendent parts as satsang. And so essentially in the past, anyone who has awakened to their universal nature has drawn these beings. Ordinary folk who are unveiled to have extraordinary, wonderful gifts. But essentially, it's just being together. But normally what we get in our communication with each other, Nicole, is just the limits of how we cannot take in fully each other. And what we normally end up having as the experience of being with one another is just a way of holding each other at arm's length, or sometimes a little closer at special times. But certainly, your very nature includes everyone you could possibly meet and greet, all places you could be at. But we're so used to being shrunk down to something graspable by someone else that we forget it's all just as natural as our own body-mind to, you know, be existence. But here we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the thing, is it all, we sort of exist mostly in our mind throughout the day, most of us, typically. And it's one of the things I was trying to understand, like, whenever we have you on the show, we always tell people, which I just realized I forgot to say, is, you know, to sort of feel the conversation as opposed to be in the mind. Like, as soon as you started talking, I have to shift right out of interviewer mode and just kind of, you know, go into the space. Or otherwise, I'm gone. I'm just, like, in a totally different zone. So when you're in satsang and you're, you know, pontificating on enlightenment or doing whatever you're doing, how does one stay out of the mind like that?
Well, I mean, like, just even to contemplate that, we exist in our minds. Well, if anyone really takes a moment to just be with themselves, just immediately, it seems to me it's a little absurd to talk about we. There seems to be only one event, one person going on. And that's not a me either. It's just a single happening together. And indeed, the very space that we're in can be really very much realized to be that which is mind. What it is that sees the thought. Because when we talk about I or we, we're talking about thoughts arising. And even to be subject to a mind is really a clever game we construct. But it's not actually something we suffer. And that's one of the exquisite reasons for satsang to be available. Because it's a time where you can drop the we for a moment. But, I mean, how to live it, to really drop out of that thinking mind of restriction that divides us from each other and is like a veil hanging about over the unspeakable world. I mean, essentially, if we wish to be in touch with the very space that is existence and that light that's appearing as this, it's simply a breath away. Because as we begin to breathe, that rhythm of taking in and giving out we can begin to feel that our appearance here is being lived by the other fields and beings around us. And so it is through that direct place of being the one to take the next breath that one negates the need to be in mind, so-called. It's just there's very much a choice, isn't there, in our day-to-day lives, that we can either be living from a place where we feel we are seen to ourselves or by others, or we can be living in the place where we're taking the next breath. And that kind of direct reality versus illusion is what people are enduring in their adventure of enlightenment. Why? For the sake of making their life subject to realization, subject to being real. And because there's, the real is the heart, the very truth of your being appearing here, dancing the rest of existence. I mean, that is the truth of your condition, whether you're in argument with your mate or whether you're really celebrating some great date. That's the bottom line. You are simply existence happening as the place that you're arising. And there's no kind of mind about that. And, of course, that's your answer to dropping out of the mind. Just breathe. And to start to feel, really feel head to toe as you breathe in and out. But what you notice is that there's a great gravity when someone looks at us, when we're all alone to ourselves, to collapse in on ourselves as some kind of doer. But in fact, you know, it's already being done. We arise as this set of activities and happenings. But whom do we arise in? As our very self, the witness, our very being, there is only that one presence. And the ultimate manifestation of that, the ultimate expression of that other side that is our very being, is that rhythm of our breath and the radiant feeling that arises when we just simply allow ourselves to move as we are and make whole the event around us.
So is that the real purpose behind satsang then, is just to be in that space?
I would say that that is the theme of all great teachers who have arisen on this planet, because they can do nothing but live out who they are. But who they are is absolutely limitless in the context of real open being with each other. And who we all are, each one of us, is perfectly, magnificently powerful and loving. But that's the trick of it, is that we don't treat each other as self-contained, limitless beings. We treat each other as extensions of our own survival game, of consoling worldviews, and whether we can get off or not with that person through our desires, rather than just treating each other already full. And certainly all teachers have functioned through satsang, just simply being with each other. Then there are techniques developed, and then there are different habits of getting together. But fundamentally, the truth is just as we are right now, and I use that we very tongue-in-cheek, but here we are, and satsang is indeed the very thing that is the point.
Now, you have live satsangs, is it each month in Vancouver?
Yeah. I have a satsangs at the Ixlan Mystery School in Aldergrove. And indeed, there is one coming up in September on the 23rd. And it's from 7 to 9. I'm pre-reg at 6:30.
So tell me what happens when you have satsang, like when we physically gather and you're putting on a satsang.
Well, my style is to have a different focus of contemplation each month. For example, next one will be on manifestation and the art of magic. And then what I do is I guide people through some practices that come my way and developed, and I share with people the music from my own collection of wonderful mind-bending, spoon-bending music, and then essentially it's just Q&A. Whatever the people want to do, usually people find their minds dissolved in satsang. And so I give them music and practices. But, you know, certainly, and this is a call out there to anyone who is interested in contemplating any question or aspect of the spiritual process, I am welcome and available for moving along that journey. Whatever journey you happen to be on, you're welcome to experience satsang in my company.
So can we talk about manifesting and magic a little bit now?
Sure.
Okay, because that's obviously probably perked everyone's interest. And we are talking to people in, well, probably about 111 countries around the world, and they all won't be able to make it to Aldergrove in September. So
that's for sure.
A little preview would be fun. So, I mean, where do you start with that topic without going into the mind?
Essentially, there's this realization that all things that we see now around us are the components and elements that make up everything we see is essentially emerging from the space around, the space in between us. So that first step towards manifesting in your life has to come from directly acknowledging and receiving the energy that manifestation moves through. And so breathing is the first place. And with that, you begin to move. Now, the function of magic is to have all your movement given towards particular aim of intent. And if you can harmonize all your gestures and sounds and visualize what you like, that's the first stage of any magical ceremony. And you just kind of wonderfully direct in your intent. And then at a certain point of generating that movement and energy, you let it go. And you simply focus on being and hearing the space around you, the environment you're in presently. Because that's another aspect of manifestation, is that if we have a desire that we'd like to manifest, essentially it's a symbol of the room around us. That is to say that the very energy of existence that gathers around us, the places and people that we're with, they, if we just take them in as they are, they are our desires at present. There's no desire that can arise in you that isn't already presently in the room you're in. And this room that I talk about, it's not the walls that you construct with thoughts or build with materials of all sorts. This room is space-time that I'm talking about. And you are a magnet for energies throughout all times and places. That part of you is simply the one that is breathing and feeling. Anything that arises is part of the magic of the moment, forming you into the vehicle of desire that you are now. The part of you that is bringing in power from all places and connections, the part of you that's taking the next breath, feeling. And so that's something to realize, that all of creation is the union of opposites. So we have that union of opposites where we focus our intent for a time with our movement, and then we stop and absolutely let go of the focus. And in exchange, you just rest or move without that. And same with, like, let's say, inner work of astral projection, where you can create any event on this material plane by dancing appropriately the inner planes, by relaxing deep enough past, you start to rest past the physical agitation, the sickness and the excitement that we get into as physical beings. You start to rest, and as you do so, maybe you'll drift to the place where the memory of the world exists. We are all energy, and every single kind of contact energetically we've had with the people and places of our life is already recorded. And you can visualize it and imagine anything you like in this dream world or dream plane that comes about as soon as the body relaxes a bit. So what it is, it's a combination of the opposites. Again, you're relaxing deeply, but then you're starting to direct through use of symbol or communication on these inner dream places. You're uniting the two sides, active and passive. And together, your life manifests differently. So that's just a couple examples of that's one thing to say about manifestation, that there's two sides to you. The side actively looking out to transform any given situation that arises to you. And then there's the part of you that's already deeply at rest, that you are part of a network of beings that have existed forever. This energy that you're appearing in the present room you're in, it's been here since the beginning of time and space, and it's simply a place to begin.
So, I mean, I can see where you'd have to be beyond the mind to do two opposite things at the same time. What kinds of processes or exercises will you be doing with people at the setting?
Well, essentially, the first kind of exercise that I offer is to, when you're breathing in, really allow all the energy from the places and people near and far to coalesce when you breathe in, and bring your hands to a namaste position at the heart. And then just listen and feel. And then when you're ready, you exhale and you send out the presence of who you are out as far as you can through an exhalation, and widen your arms and the form of a cross, as it were, wide open. And that's an example of one of the practices that I have people do. And then there's about directing the energy down the front and up the back, and conducting the nourishment of life around us right to our center, as well the openness of the heart that you are, we could say that's like the heart to the right. If we look at those three centers of the heart, the left heart is that which makes the world seem solid with its ticking. The middle heart is the place in which we realize that who we are is a pattern, creative pattern, arising with many different beings in the moment. And then the final heart is a little to the right. And with that one, you drop the sense of you. You start to live prior to reflection. You start to live as you are prior to mind by focusing on the heart on the right. And so these heart opening exercises are what I focus on as the main practices. And then anything anyone else suggests, I'm totally welcome to experiment and engage, because that's what satsang is also a time for really making opportunity of, we're evolving beings, and our combination together brings about the flow of the next dimension of our lives.
You know, Dr. Joseph Chilton Pierce, he was a scientist and author, great Cosmic Egg and many others. I was blessed enough to be able to interview him for Life-Changing TV last year. Or was it the year before? And he was talking about, you know, scientifically proving that the true source of our power, of all of our power, was coming from our heart. Physically and literally and metaphorically in all ways. And what would your perspective be on that?
Yeah, the kind of, it's not exactly necessary to localize the heart. We can speak of the heart and its function the way I just did. The heart, proper and true, is the very presence of being that all of us arise in at once. And so it's useful to direct energy towards that direction. But, of course, it's to be remembered that every self-fulfilling prophecy is self-fulfilling. And that's what scientists are essentially doing with hypothesis. They are engaging in their own intent unfolded as the world around them. And so, of course, if you look for it, it has a vehicle to arise then. And indeed, it can be discovered that the heart is the source and center of all our life. I can go for that. It just doesn't make much difference in the long run. Like all true science, I suppose.
Right. So you're talking in a bigger sense than the literal, you know, heart organ being your power center.
Yeah, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but in the moment I am talking about that.
Well, see, I went back to the mind again. Yay, scientist.
No, that's the adventure, is it? Just take a breath. That's one of the key practices that I like to... key insights that I'd like to give too is that your communication can either be an energetic journey where you just allow yourself to communicate and respond, communicate and respond, or your communication itself can be a kind of unveiling. If after each communication you make, you take a full breath in and give out again, then what happens is like you're peeling away the layers, the veils of your own being, and you can go deeper and deeper in perception and awareness with the world around you. But much of the time, we're locked in this great journey of measuring our progress through being able to communicate in one way or another. And these journeys are beautiful. There's nothing wrong with the adventure of life. But nothing you do or act out or anything is going to reveal to you the being that you are. For that, there has to be openness to the space of relationship that is your very existence, huh? It's not about necessarily putting on the right act, but rather letting go of your self-image. And then you can start to see the wider bright, as it were, the light of the heart and its life, its movement as well. So that's something I'd like to point out, that if we just involve our feeling breath before and after we communicate, much of the enduring arguments and pubic hairs that define our time with each other might open to unveil great reservoirs of power that we have to bring out in each other, and that we may dance the reality of true love, eh? Certainly there's nothing wrong with true love, ain't it, Nicole?
I would think not. If there's something wrong with that, that's it.
That's right.
It's all over. No. You know, as I mentioned, we're talking to people around the world in a lot of different places and a lot of different, you know, situations. When you're looking at that broad of a sense of who's listening to you right now, what do you feel would be the most important message to talk about today?
Well, why don't you just take a moment and breathe in that audience, and then when you're ready, you just tell me, and I'll pick a card from the tarot.
Oh, okay.
And I'll address.
All right.
This is another aspect of what I do at my satsang. So instead of prasad, normally prasad is the food and the offering that is given to the community and shared in the community. Well, for me, the prasad I offer is the tarot. Each person, I give them a tarot card that represents their growth in the current cycle till they see me again.
Okay. Well, I have breathed the audience.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Hopefully they're ready.
All right. One of the biggest things to address in this moment is overcoming thoughts of defeat. That it is very important that as soon as you start to get disappointed in your performance in life and you don't feel that you quite cut it for the loved ones around you, or you just feel that overwhelming sense of defeat, that is the time to breathe and open up your awareness to see that you are already fulfilling many strains of relationship, many different functions of your being, before you start being concerned about one direction or another. Consider in your day-to-day life the feeling of needing to live up to standards. And just realize that you are a network of energies coming together. And if you leave yourself alone, then you will know yourself to be riding victory this moment. Not just defeat or concern that you're not who you're to be, but you'll be able to be who you are in any given situation. But breathe in that moment of feeling the most defeated and just breathe out any kind of fear or expectation And just give yourself out to all directions around you. And allow yourself to be the perfect balance of all those beings that came together to manifest the vision that you are.
Excellent.
This world, people, because it's such a populated place at this time, people are being slotted more and more into functions and boxes, and right from the get-go, they're like conditioned to certain roles. And the fact is that even though a person is born with a given set of parents and within a given place, their journey of life is going to take them elsewhere. And so if in the current circumstance of your life, you and the listening audience, you feel that you can't quite live up to what's being put around you as the norm, it's time for you to travel wide, or just at least walk down the street and breathe and open to your wider function.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're conditioned not to breathe in those moments, aren't we?
That's the bottom line. We're told to wait. Wait for permission to be in relationship or conversation with this or that one. Wait for permission to enter into what is essentially your very wider form, because here we are, we're cosmic beings. The consciousness that you are is as wide as infinity, and the energy, light that you are, is the same light that's living all other beings. But yet, you only know such a few people and places in your scene. Well, the people and places that you do encounter, wide and far, are as much a part of your body as anything else you now identify as yourself. And the way we have it with each other, we make each other feel like we have to have permission to enter into our own body. But, you know, when it all is said and done, you're just that. And if you give up the concern about what's being expected for you, you'll find yourself fulfilling most victoriously the role that you're here to play.
So tell me further how this works then when you pick a specific card. Like, the idea here is that you're picking up on sort of the major predominant thing that needs to be addressed collectively in the audience.
Well, that's it. It coming through you.
Okay. Through the breathing.
Yeah. It's another aspect of manifestation there, that the thing that you have in common between you now and you successful is that you're going to be breathing and looking around yourself anyway. So if you focus on being that space, you'll find that all times are united that much quicker, and projects that you felt were way off in the future can manifest presently as the people and places that you spontaneously appear in, just by being that space. But you all notice it in yourselves when you take that breath, just how quickly the mind is to find its object. And then, pow, you're someone again.
So, what are we capable of in that space?
Well, I mean, it's really up to each person to dream their own dream. I mean, I myself it's really impossible to answer that because each individual is being that already. It's each individual in their fullness is the answer to that. It's impossible. I certainly, came from a position of being somewhat depressed and outcasted in the world to being a realizer of the very truth and guiding people of all levels of success to the company of the heart. And, that is a result of that space. Mm-hmm. It's no small miracle. My own case, what's happened to me. And, indeed, to realize that all those moments that you were in unbearable circumstances of great ordeal and travail and pain and that you just had to get through it. Well, when it comes to how you got through it, just look at your neighbor. The very beings that you come in contact with have been living you and moving you. They're a mysterious part of it. So it's just like, what you want to see happen, that's what's possible in space, whatever you can dream up. But the key is that as soon as you do come up with something, let it go. And that's the life of the heart.
So do you think there are any limits to what we can manifest?
Well, it really depends on what level of identity you have. You see, if we're the physical body, then we have certain traits that we're predisposed to go after and certain desires. And those desires are the limits, you see. It's about breaking past that hesitating place in you that seeks. See, when you look at the question like what kind of limits are there, the limitless, it's just a result of seeking that causes us to pick some project or other that we'd like to manifest. But the thing is that you are not a separate body. You are with entire networks of people and beings and places. And if you can imagine something happening, that means that it is already within that network. It's just that one is locked into their separate self-image. Ego, as we know and well love it.
So how do we specifically work on that?
Essentially, you decide to live life rather than in reflection and waiting and seeking. You decide to live life directly as its own light, breath by breath, and feeling gesture to feeling gesture. It's literally the choice each moment when it comes down to it. And this is what the point of satsang is, again, is that you have an opportunity to, at any moment, take the next breath and move with or without purpose as being who you are. And the more we do that, see, the place in you that breathes, it's the place in you that is the truth with all your relations and loved ones and beings each moment. And if you're in that place, then indeed your life becomes limitless, not because you have everything necessarily, but because in your simple, ordinary setup, you are including the truth of everything going on. it's not that we're all supposed to become like masters of our own universes, mm-hmm. in a sense of having a lot of possessions and all that number, because the more burdened down you get, the less capable you are of moving and dancing. And to be a master of existence is to learn simply how to dance. Because in your ordinary appearance, as it's being woven and moved into existence with the force of all your ancestors and your loved ones' future that have, with all of that force, your ordinary appearance now is limitless. And but if we're holding our breaths, we feel nailed down to the cross of ego, mind, desire. And that's what it's about. Either we are carrying our cross around with us. Hey, my name is so-and-so, I do this. My name is Fred Smith, my mind is my own. If we're going about life through that, then it's very hard to dance. But
what is it about the breath that is so magical in this transformation?
Well, I guess that it is just what's always already the case. Everything that we experience of ourselves and the world around us is a direct result of how much breath we take in and give out. It's the very continuity of life. Because if we look at all the adventure we've had since birth in terms of experiences, well, not a lot of it connects very well with each other. It's all kind of chaotic, who you were back then, who you are now. But that breathing space, that current, has been the same. And it's not just you that your breath pertains to. It is the very momentum of all of existence at once. Same as the witness that sees each thought that we call ourselves. It is the collective activity of existence at once, the energy of that, its light, its radiance, that is seeing each thought that we have now. But instead we say, I have this thought. Well, that I is all things happening at once. That I is limitless, eh? But it can't be hoarded or enjoyed or attained or anything like that. It's something that if you wish to live it, you have to give up everything. You have to simply give up your sense of existence, eh? It's like realization amounts to this ultimate seeing of your personal non-existence. Everything that's appearing to you moment to moment is just a limitation because of some kind of holding back of the breath and feeling of your life. It's not you. Nothing that you can look at that begins in time or is seen by anyone else is anything other than your present holding back of your breath and feeling life. And, I mean, I say breath and attention, feeling attention, but I'm also talking about the rhythm and radiance that's appearing to us as nature and all processes going on. It's really magical because the breath, that nut, which is breathing, it's the same thing that moves the world around you. And I guess that's why it's so magical, so capable of creating change, because all change occurs with movement. Change is movement. And when we're not breathing, we tend to stop and be held back a little. Or sometimes we can enter into the breath so fully that we do enter a place of stillness and samadhi. And that's for the mystical cats. Those beings. are using the breath for creating the dance and change can enter into samadhi.
Well, we have given people something to think about and something to feel.
That's right.
Hour. And, well, you have, and but then we're all one anyway, and we're all
That's right,
one,
eh?
So there we go.
And, it's so beautiful to hear you.
Well, I really value our time together and look forward to the next one. We're already at the top of the hour, just by every time. So, yeah, well, let's get you on again soon, and maybe we can take some questions from the audience.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, let's do that for next time. So in the meantime, if you can make it to Aha's Satsang in September, ahashouse.com is the website, and alternatively, we'll get him back on the air and ask some questions, fire in your questions to me. If you missed any of the show or you want to hear it again or any of the shows with Aha or anybody, News for the Soul, they're all free all the time. Forevermore thereafter, newsforthesoul.com is the website to go to for that. And also, we have a new schedule. You can find out all about that there. We actually, the next time we're live on the air is in 1 hour from now on Contact Radio. And Thursday nights we're back here on BBS. Friday night we're on Shortwave, and we're live on the radio in Nashville and somewhere else. It's gone blank now. And you can find all about the updates with that stuff on newsforthesoul.com and how to tune in live to all those broadcasts via the web or radio or otherwise. So but thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Aha, for being here today.
Certainly.
And we'll see you all in an hour on Contact or later on newsforthesoul.com. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Radio.
Yes, Tom.
Radio.
Yes, Tom.
Radio.
Yes, Tom.